homeownership end of the housing continuum. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you both.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you all very much. So it's
Mayor,
time
I move
for a motion.
To accept the report.
Second.
Further discussion? Then roll call on that, please.
Bish?
I want to begin by thanking Tracy for her service to the city. When former director Margaret Van Vliet was poached by the governor to take over the state agency, the city and my team thought about doing a national search. But when we talked to some of our key stakeholders, we quickly learned that the best candidate was actually in our own backyard. And Tracy graciously accepted the offer to come work for the city, and she has provided exemplary leadership. And I know we could spend a long time highlighting her accomplishments, but the one I'll just note for the record is that she has built and motivated a great team at the Bureau, and it's reflected in the people that are here and the people that aren't here, and that may be her best legacy, the team building she did at the Bureau and the excellence that has become the norm. So, Tracy, you'll be greatly missed. And thank you for your service. Commissioner Saltzman, as the housing commissioner, you've made transparency and accountability a hallmark, and you have been focused on making sure we have good data, and that helps us make wiser decisions. So thank you for your passion for this exercise and this report, which I think is going to be very helpful to us as we make decisions going forward. And then finally, what this report tells us is that if you are formerly homeless, working class, lower middle class, you can't afford to live in the city. And that's not the city that we want. And that has cascading effects, including eroding the base of our public schools, creating divisions, and ultimately, as Dan often says, leading us down the path to some cities that we don't want to emulate, cities of just rich and poor. We know the federal government is not going to be part of the solution anytime soon, and your graph about the declining federal resources is sobering. In fact, I understand that most of the candidates running for president on the Republican Party have suggested just abolishing HUD. So we're not, depending on the outcome of that election, it may not get better. We know that through that chart you showed us that there's a not so much a TIF cliff, but a steady decline of tax increment finance resources. They have been spent well, but they're not an infinite resource. So if the federal government doesn't step up, and if the 30% set-aside continues to shrink, we have to do something. And that may be a dedicated revenue source going forward. In the short term, it seems to me we should invest our surplus in helping people survive. And I am proud to join what I hope is all of my colleagues in supporting Commissioner Saltzman's budget asks, which include $5 million for the HIF, Housing Investment Fund, which would hopefully be matched by the county, and which would give us local dollars with fewer strings to use to innovate, and particularly to see if we can bring the cost of housing down and get more units. Because this report tells one clear story, and that is we have to build more units. There is no other alternative. We must build more supply to house more people. Thank you to everyone who worked on this outstanding report. Again, Tracy, you'll be deeply missed. And Dan, thank you for your leadership. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'd like to acknowledge Director Manning once again for her foresight in creating this report and the hard work of all the staff at the Portland Housing Bureau who contributed, especially Matthew, Antoinette Pietka, and Martha Calhoun. Shannon Callahan from my office, Javier Mina, the assistant director. And I think, as Commissioner Fish just said, I think one legacy Tracy leaves is she has created a great, cohesive, very committed to the mission of the Housing Bureau. And it's, it's not every day you find a bureau where the sort of everybody is pulling in the same direction. And it helps that it's a small bureau, but it's also highly motivated and highly qualified people working there. This report provides a pretty clear picture of the need to increase the affordable housing stock throughout the city, and also recognizes that our main source of affordable housing funding right now, urban renewal or tax increment funding, is nearing the end of its useful life. And it's incumbent upon us to make the most of these remaining funds, but we also must prepare for new funding mechanisms to replace this resource. And to this end, we will make a multi-pronged approach. I hope to have a robust incentive zoning proposal before the council next month in May, and which I believe can serve as one piece of the necessary funding pie and should provide us with a resource to tackle, in particular, meeting our central city no net loss policy goals. But we also need to look for other stable long-term funding mechanisms. I know the Welcome Home Coalition is looking at options for perhaps voter-approved funding mechanisms. Some of the things I'm also interested in looking at include a possible housing impact fee or housing linkage fee, pretty much the same thing. And those things we will be looking at as well. So as Portland continues to grow, I'm committed to making sure that everyone and every neighborhood shares in the prosperity Portland is enjoying at this moment. I think, you turn on the TV tonight, last night, and you see Baltimore. And I think one of the things I think about, having lived on the East Coast for quite a while, and what really appeals to me about a city like Portland is, even though we have our problems, I think people still have a feeling that they can make a difference and a feeling that there's opportunity and upward mobility. You look at a big city like Baltimore and some of the entrenched problems, and you realize many people feel that they have lost out on any chance of upward mobility and prosperity, and that fuels the fires, literally. So I think that that's one great thing about Portland is I don't think we've lost it yet, but we need to keep ever vigilant to make sure that we can provide opportunities for all Portlanders to own a home or live in a good neighborhood and or live in a good rental stock housing. And those are things I'm pledged to do to my best for my physical ability. Aye.
Hales?
Well, thank you, Tracy, for your service to this city and to this cause, and we wish you well in your next venture. We also want to thank your bureau for doing great work with you and on this report and much more to come, and all the partners that are here in the room that care about this issue and work so hard on it as volunteers, as managers of nonprofits, as people that work literally to build this necessity for our fellow citizens. A couple of thoughts. One, there's some real success in here in addition to the challenge, and we've talked a lot about the challenge, and I will too. But we've absorbed a lot of households in the central city and Gateway in the time period that this focuses on between 2000 and 2013, and that was what we wanted. And in fact, I'm sort of having a deja vu moment. I'm back at meetings at Metro occasionally, arguing that the rest of the region should accept the reality that actually most of the residential growth is happening in the city, and most of the employment growth is happening in the city. And I was there 15 years ago arguing that we actually could absorb a bunch of additional units in the Pearl District and downtown, and they didn't need to move the urban growth boundary out in order to provide housing opportunity. And we proved, again, you've got the numbers, that we actually could accomplish that, and quite a few of those units were affordable, not as many as maybe we would want, but quite a few. So there's a lot of success to celebrate in the work that we've all done together, and this report documents some of that. When you look at the challenges, I think I would describe our situation here in Portland as, if you go to a Broadway show and they'll turn one spotlight on an actor, but then they'll turn a second one on, and they're in that convergence of those two powerful beams. Well, that's kind of where Portland is. We're in the convergence of a couple of different powerful forces here. One is income inequality, which is a national problem, the failure to rebuild a middle class after the recession, the fact that we've gone from having three high-poverty census tracts in Portland in 1970 to having 11 today, that's terrible. But it's also national. It's a national force that arrives here, too. That's one beam. So there are these national trends. The middle class hasn't rebuilt. Incomes haven't kept up. Minimum wages are stuck. And poverty has metastasized in cities all over the country. That's here too. Second beam is local, and that is that we are a great and livable city that has water that a lot of people want to live in, and that that powerful force of growth and change is with us. Like it or not, hate it or love it, want to stop it, good luck, but it's real. And so those two forces, you know, are lighting us up with, you know, a real challenge here. And I guess I want to second what my colleagues have said, but I want to amend them a little bit. Yes, we need to build more units. In order to do that, we will need new money, and I want to second that point. That whatever we do with TIF and general fund and whatever else we can scrape together around here, I won't say it's a rounding error compared to the problem, but it's not anywhere near enough, and we all know that. And we have actually gone out and gotten new money for important things in this community. We need to do that for transportation. We just celebrated how we've done that for the arts. We've done it for parks and green spaces and fire stations and other things. Children's levy is a great example. So I think we need to be clear about that. We need to find new public revenues for the public investment that has to be made. As the member of this council that spends the most time with PDC, though they are a partner for us all, I want to amend our conventional wisdom that TIF is a declining resource. It's a declining resource in the current urban renewal areas. We now have headroom because the city council has amended the plans and sunsetted two urban renewal areas and put thousands of acres and $800 million of assessed value back on the tax rolls. We have the opportunity to responsibly use urban renewal where there's the next opportunity area to create a big increment of positive development, hopefully doing a better job of preserving affordability and residency for those who live there now than we have done perhaps in the past. But to quote Monty Python, urban renewal is not dead yet, and we shouldn't assume that it is. Neither should we assume that it's an ATM that we can go to anytime we want. So I just want to place that thought in the air, and we can talk about that more in the future. Again, I want to stress, as I did in my request to the Bureau and their follow-up, that we really look at what other bureaus can do and what other entities and enterprises in the city can do to synergize the strategy, given the size of that challenge, those two converging beams of change, and the relative scarcity of resources. One thing we can do is avoid doing much more harm, and that's why earlier today the council considered and approved moving forward with ways to look at our zoning code and avoid the pernicious effect of tearing down a great $300,000 house on a perfectly good street and replacing it with $1 million house over and over and over, block after block after block across the city, and thereby gentrifying the single-family base that we have really without planning to do that. That's a change we can make to more heavily regulate and mitigate that tendency in the market. We've talked a lot about demolitions. You'll be hearing more from me on that subject because I believe we should tax demolitions, and that should be proportionate to the lost value of the structure that's being demolished. If it's a house that's ruined and is never going to be restored, obviously there's not much point in taxing its demolition. But if it's neither of those things, then I think there's a good public policy argument for doing that. So there are other things we can do in policy and tax and action plans that make this set of goals and numbers more achievable. And I'm very interested in us thinking as a board of directors, as stewards of the whole city and the whole enterprise of all of our bureaus, about how we make those connections, as well as how we try to do more each year. But this is a really important resource. We look forward to more discussions with the staff of the Bureau and with our advisors and community partners about how to interpret this base of knowledge and get to where we want to go. Very pleased with the work. Thank you all very much. Aye. And we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Hey, Tracy.
Reminder, urban renewal's not dead. Not over yet.